All right, welcome back to the Modern Car Wash Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Zelaznik, and if you don't know, this podcast is designed to kind of talk all things car wash, specifically in a more high-tech world. We have different guests on each episode. I'm joined by my co-host, Shane Groff. Shane, I was trying to think of kind of giving us the credentials to actually host this podcast and speak intelligently. I've been in marketing for 15 years. I've been in the car wash industry for 6 or 7. How old are you?
I'm 49.
49. So you've been in the car wash industry for 49 years, it seems like, right?
My 31st year since I was 18.
All right. 31st year. We're joined today by Glenn Sheely. Glenn, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Oh, excellent. So how many years do you have?
Well, I guess I'm 45 and 45 years. I'm the third generation of my family. So when I was a little kid, we grew up above my parents' first tunnel in Walden, New York. So I've always been around it, always been in my blood and always seen it and been a part of it.
Yeah, you know, nothing else but the car wash world, right? So, for our audience, if you can just kind of introduce yourself, who you are, we kind of get the sense of, we already know your age. So, but just take us back and maybe a quick bio for you.
My name is Glenn Sheely. I'm the third generation of my family's car wash business. My grandfather, Les Sheely, opened up his first car wash in 1969 in Walden, New York. My grandfather, then my dad, built about 4 car washes. Then when I got out of high school, I became a partner with my father, and we built 4 other washes, but we started gradually selling the washes off to other people. And the last one was our biggest one we built was a Washco car wash in Middletown, New York. We sold that one to Splash and met Dan Petrelli and Mark Curtis, and they asked what I was going to do from there. And I said, well, I'm going to build another car wash, of course. And, they said, well, why don't you team up with us? So I've done about 6 washes for them. Just opened one yesterday in Milford, Connecticut, with some great equipment from the guy that you're sitting next to. So, yeah, worked out well.
Yeah, it seems like you're a busy guy. The fact that we've tracked you down for this podcast and you're pulled off on the side of the road somewhere. Are you coming back from the opening from yesterday?
No, we opened that one yesterday, and then that was in Milford, Connecticut. Today we're doing a ground up build in Randolph, Massachusetts. So I go up there once a week to make sure everything's going according to, you know, there's always a million questions. There's always how does this piece of the puzzle align with this? And we're trying to get ready to put the conveyor in next week. So just what I've this one in Derby, almost at this Derby, Connecticut, going on at the same time. So I just got to make sure they're both on the same page all the time. And they're going to open about a month from each other. So I can't get off schedule with either one of them. So.
Gotcha. And these are all Splash washes?
These two are Splash washes, correct.
Gotcha.
Yep.
So you were mentioning, obviously you're an operator turned distributor, installer.
Yep.
You had to pick. What do you like better?
Oh, all day long. I'd rather build car washes all day, every day than be the guy at the kiosk all day, every day. I mean, I've been the thumb gun guy from the guy that scrubs the license plate to every part of it. And now I'll build washes and install equipment. I mean, I thoroughly enjoy it. I work with my father every day. He's with me every day, building washes. I never go to work, hating my life. I enjoy it every day, even under deadlines. Sometimes, like, it was funny. I have a 3-year-old daughter at home, and she goes, "Are you going to come home for dinner tonight?" Because the last, I think, 14 days, my dad and I have had breakfast, lunch, and dinner together every day because we're just trying to knock this one out of the park. And we did. It worked out well. And now we're back to our normal schedule, just breakfast and lunch together. But yeah. no, I, I love building washes. Working with Splash is great because they seem to let me run with my ideas. And that's what I love about working with Shane, because I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, and he's like, yeah, let's make it happen. So, I thoroughly love building washes more than anything. So,
yeah. Well, you've been building washes your whole life, and
mm-hmm.
how has that changed for you? I mean, from when you were a kid, your grandfather and your dad were building washes, there was a certain amount of technology, or maybe not a certain amount of technology. And now today, you know, it's 2023, you're building the latest and greatest. It must have been a huge evolution over the years.
And I'm sure you've seen it too. Like, I remember when we used to build, when we built our Walden wash, we redid it one time, and it was like, man, we have to spend $10,000 for a Tunnel Master Junior, the controller. And it's like, now we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on kiosks and RFIDs and LPR, and really nothing was really, everything was manual. I mean, for the roller switch going down, that had the little arm on a switch, that when the roller went by and hit it twice and it would fall off on a busy day, and rollers just kept coming up. I mean, everything is automated. That's probably the biggest part. For me, building washes, multiple washes, I'm not as hands-on every part as I was when you're building one with your own money, and you're only building one at a time, and you're trying to save every penny. Where we're in a different, not that we're not trying to save money, but we're trying to, the timeline is, how quick can we get it done? Mm-hmm. You know, what the best quality, differentiate yourself from everybody else in the market, but also you got to knock it out, you got to knock it out quickly. You know, you can't be, you know, if you're looking at 8 months, you're way too long anymore. You have to be getting it done with it almost within 6 months. And so, I mean, that's a big part. I mean, my father and I did washes where we put every block up ourselves, vinyled every wall panel ourselves, pulled every wire into place, and now, we really just do more of the plumbing, more of the technical part. We do every install ourselves, just because we like things a certain way. Kind of picky about that stuff and picky about our equipment choices. So,
when I got into the business end of 1992, beginning of 1993, a point of sale system literally was a nail apron that some high school kids wore around their waist. And if somebody came with a credit card, you had to take it in, put it on a machine, and slide that thing back and forth. That was our point of sale system. And like you said, now there's RFID readers, there's LPR and gates and all kinds of stuff. It is a crazy amount of money that air wash operators spend nowadays to build a car wash.
I remember I must have been like 6 or 7 years old, and my dad had a 4-bay self-service with the tunnel behind it and a gas station in the center. And if you came in with a credit card, you had a book that you opened to see if their credit card was good. And you would have to search through it. And that was my job, to go through it and find if they're good. And people knew that if their credit card was bad, like, you had to wait, you got a new book, I think, every month. So there was a point where they didn't pay their bill and their card was bad, they'd be charging up washes and gas. You'd get the new book and their credit cards declined. You're out all, it was like you were floating the money. I mean, I remember when that slide came out, you're like, woohoo, it's crazy. It's crazy how people are paying with their phone. They're pulling up. And I think the kiosk is a thing of the past. I think someday you're just going to pull up, just like McDonald's, where there's going to be a screen and you're going to do everything on your phone. You're never even going to put down the window, and you're going to pull in gates, all that stuff. That's the greatest and latest, like you said, today. And then 10 years from now, we'll be like, we're ripping all that stuff out, So,
yeah, I'm curious. Obviously you get around, you see a lot of different washes. Is there emerging technology that maybe hasn't fully scaled or gone, but you see it's coming, even if it is just the pay station, or is there anything else you could think of?
I think pay stations are a thing of the past. I mean, RFID readers are, I think the only reason why we even put them in is just because some washes don't have all the LPR yet.
Yeah.
In the tunnel itself, I think all equipment will come with an eye on it that you'll send a signal, like you'll measure. Some pieces of equipment now are coming with, you know, you measure from your entrance eye to this eye, and then you run a car through it, and it programs itself, pulse length, your conveyor speed, everything. I could see a piece of equipment where you can just bolt something down. You're going to give it that measurement to the PLC, and it's going to program itself. I see, you know, that would be easier for everybody, and I think that's one of the things in the future. I think, personally, myself, signage through the tunnel, I'm working with somebody right now to do a digital sign. Because, I mean, and Shane can test this. Remember the time, and I have some in my garage, when it was via tube, and you had the neon letters all draw, you know, bent out that said hot wax or triple foam. I have a Simonized one in my garage that my wife hates, because when the garage door opens, it blinks the sign that says Simonized hot wax. And I have the other one that says, what was before hot wax? What was the big one? Oh, double bond. Remember that? Oh, yeah. So it says Simonized double bond and it blinks. And my daughter, like, sometimes she's sleeping at night, you're trying to take her out of the car, and this thing's blinking red and yellow. But in my heart, I love it. But I think the future, and like I said, we're working with, is a digital sign that sees your car going through the tunnel, that when you're getting hot wax, you're seeing the hot wax put on your car. And there's things in the tunnel that I think are so cool to watch, and I'm going to use Shane's Wheel Blaster as an example. It's the coolest thing since sliced bread, but the customers probably a lot of them don't even know they get it unless you have glass that you can see it. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to have a TV screen that's going to say, those are my wheels. Look how dirty they are. Oh, my God. How awesome was that? They're always going to buy that package then, and especially if they can go through and see on the sign it says Wheel Blaster, and then on the bottom say not being applied, you know, for, you have to, in a kind way, put it on there in wording. But I think that's a big future. No more lights, no more, you know, lollipop signs in the tunnel. I think those digital signs are the key. And seeing your own car. I'd love to see it where, you know, we all have these entrance management signs and the exit management signs, and they're awesome. Tells it put the car on brake, but it should snap a picture of your car and have a picture of your car at the end that says before, after. No, clean, dirty, you know?
Yeah.
It's I think that, and customer experience, you know, just like they always say, that you're not buying, when you go to a steakhouse, the steak on the plate, you're buying the picture, the atmosphere, the picture in the menu that you're getting. You know, it's that plays, I think people forget about that with car washes sometimes. I know, obviously, Shane and Hoffman's don't, and all the new splashes we build, and the Washcos and the eco washes we even do. You try to take a lot of those features and to give, like, the atmosphere that it is clean. The place is clean. The outside is clean. We inject scented soap, or not scented soap, a scent from the center of the windshield or center of the hood to the top of the windshield, just to make your car smell good. Because if it smells clean, it probably is clean, you know. So,
yeah, I think you touched on a lot there, and I think you're dead on. And you know, the parts where the car wash is, it's a way to kind of brighten someone's day or refresh them, right? And I think that's what you're seeing. And you mentioned, like, the before and after photo. And we've had discussions here where, well, why can't we just show the car rolling out? Because we have a TV at the exit end. Then we use different promotions, things like that. But why not show the car actually rolling past? So it's almost like the customer's looking in the mirror, right? Like, they're actually seeing the end product. Because when you're riding in the car, you don't really, you know, you get a sense of it, but you don't really see the shine until you get home or whatever it is. And the flip side, and you talked about the Wheel Blast it. And when I started here, our office was above one of our full serve car washes. So when I would go downstairs, or even if I'd get a car wash, I loved the Wheel Blasted. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Like, coming from outside of the car wash world, I thought it was so intuitive, just excellent design concept. And I would just, we had bump outs so you could see the process, and I would just watch the Wheel Blasted because I thought it was the coolest thing. And I think that's one thing that we lose in an express tunnel, is that you're riding with the car. You don't even get to see this amazing piece of equipment. So again, I think like pulling it out and being able to actually like, oh wow, it's spinning and following my wheel at the same time. It's a pretty cool idea
for sure.
And I think that, and ultimately that's just the first step. Once we get that down, and like you said, wouldn't it be great to see your car coming out the car wash? But everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody can get a text when they're getting on site. Imagine getting those couple little blasts on your phone. Then they're posting them on Instagram or Facebook. Check this out where I got the, you know, I think it snowballs from there. You just got to get, people love to put that stuff on anything about themselves on the internet anymore. Let's give them the information that they can do it. You know, yeah. Let's give them the small clip of it and say, man, check this out. This is awesome, you know? So, yeah. And to your point, even coming out of the car wash, how many times, and I'm sure Shane can attest to this, wintertime, you're 50 cars deep, cars piled out in a road, you feel like a genius, you're washing cars like, so they pull out of the car wash, the first puddle they go through is just that salt spray all over the car. It'd be nice if they had, and they come back, look at you, you didn't do anything. It'd be nice to have it where it would send them that, you said, that video that says, hey, this is your car coming out. It's spotless. You know, at least they get home and they're like, well, what did it look like when it came out? Boom. Okay. Yeah. It was mint. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I would have that. And you were like, you just wanted to be like, but just run it through again, you know? But anyway.
Well, it sounds like you touched on, and Shane, maybe you can elaborate too, is, you know, AI is such a big talk just across the world right now and different applications for it. And I'd make the argument that there is artificial intelligence currently in car washes as far as just different techniques or whatever is being used. But where do you guys see this area going as it applies to car wash? And Glenn, I think you touched on it, like more or less the sensors and being able to read and adjust. So I don't know if both of you want to elaborate.
I mean, we're fortunate. Our industry has a couple operators out there working with engineers for robotics to clean the cars with actual robots, just like the cars are manufactured. I think there's so many bright people in our industry that are just willing to push that envelope and do what no one else has done. And I mean, you think back to the late 90s, Mike Mounts, you know, came from a manufacturing background. He owned two car washes in Central PA and two full service, and he wanted to build a third. He said, man, this is ridiculous. On Wednesday, it takes them, you know, 8 minutes to vacuum my car, but on Saturday, they only spend 2 minutes. He's like, why can't we do this in an assembly line fashion? And Mike and our whole team at that car wash, I was fortunate enough to be on it with him, his sons, his family, and he built an interior clean with the conveyor belts. As first time belts were used, and it was all to be off an assembly line. It's just one guy that had an idea. Here we are 25 years later, and belts are used all over the car washes. And it's just those entrepreneurs that really, you know, and a lot of times it's when they come from a different industry and they look at our industry and say, well, you guys are doing this backwards. Why don't we do it this way? And it's just like, poof. And, you know, everybody, you know, it's like little kids at soccer, the ball goes, all the little kids chase that ball.
Yeah.
And it's great. And our industry is just blowing up right now with the amount of capital people have to build washes, and they want to do it right. They want to provide that consistent product. And, you know, I know I've spoke to, you know, a good example is, you know, Glenn and I talk weekly. His new wash in Middletown, they're thinking of retooling it already to bring it to another level. And it's that cost evolution that's just awesome. And it's great to be a part of it.
Yeah. Glenn, what do you see in that Middletown? Where do you see that going as far as retooling and things? Or like what are the hurdles that you will anticipate?
Well, you know, I built the place, heck, it's almost 5 years ago now, and a lot has changed in 5 years. And every wash you build, and as I'm sure Shane can contest to, every piece of equipment you build, you say, man, if I was going to do it again, I'd do it this way. And I have the luxury of building so many washes that you try this. Sometimes things work out great. Sometimes they work out okay. And sometimes the squeeze wasn't worth the juice. One of the things I've talked to Shane about, and it's a huge problem in the car wash world, is felted wheel wells in trucks, because nothing gets them clean. And I think every piece of high pressure equipment in the world out there. And, it's called Blast-It, correct, Shane?
Yeah.
The side blaster. And I put it in a wash up in Cicero, New York, washed my truck. And when I got home, I'm like, man, it looks like stripes in the wheel well, right? But it was those nozzles that they made, it was spotless. There was no dirt stuck in the felt. Where it missed, I'm like, wow, makes sense. If you have two or three sets of these, you can alternate them and you can make a spotless wheel well. Because it's a problem if you're getting friction material in a wheel well and there's felt in it and there's, you know, solids in there, you're going to have an issue. And so Middletown washes cars so quickly. One of the things we want to do is put four Blast-Its first. Go pre-soak, lava, wheel blaster, three or four Blast-Its, and then our Pettit machine, and then we're going to try a different style set of wraps I've been talking with Shane about. And so that's, I mean, obviously the throughput there is at 200 cars an hour. You really got to be spot on everything and to put out a quality car at those chain speeds. So that's the big thing that's changing there.
With your new installs, how different is site A from site B? Like, are you pretty consistent or are you constantly changing things, improving, or what's that look like?
Always improving on it. We try to keep them pretty consistent just for a maintenance standpoint. You know, when the guy goes here and he looks at the motor control center or he looks at the back room, it's generally the same thing. Milford had a couple new things that myself, my father, everybody that was there yesterday was really impressed with, and the car came out. It was probably the driest car I ever seen come out of a tunnel, and I was so proud to have my name associated with that, because usually day one on startup day, nothing is really coming out like you want it to. And it was like, and I remember the COO and the CEO were going through the car wash there, and you know, kind of your heart's in your throat a little bit. And my dad's looking at me on the other side. I'm like, man. And one of the guys there put a video on Facebook. And I got home last night, and my wife's sister goes, I don't know if it was the video, but it looked like the car was bone dry. Did you do something different? I said, we did a lot of things different this time, and they all seemed to work out great. So I was like, we're going to copy that model. There's a couple things I like to improve on it, but man, when that car came out that dry, I was like, oh man, this is awesome. So, so they're pretty consistent. That last one, the Milford one, I think the Randolph and Derby, Connecticut will be very, very similar with some slight alterations to it. We are in process of buying a piece of property. And I don't think it matters that, I tell you, but we want to build the Guinness Book World Record 300-foot tunnel. That's what Washco's next play is. But I want that tunnel to be I don't want it to be cartoonish like Disney World, but I want when you go through that, like, oh my God, what did I just experience? And I have some ideas that I have to talk with the guy that you're sitting next to. And that one's going to be probably my heart and soul in, and probably a lot of tears in it. But that one there, I want to be, is going to be one of the best. I hope the best in the world, probably one of the busiest in the world. Wash is coming soon. So look forward to that in probably 2024 at the end of the year there. That's going to be the baddest girl around. So,
you know, I see a theme here, you know, because Glenn and I, you know, we talk outside of work and everything. And he was going for a world record just a few weeks ago with something else, not even related to clowns. Now today he's going for another world record. What is it?
Well,
it's
anything. I love drag racing, and I love Corvettes. I mean, Corvettes and car washes, drag racing and family. And that's why I do a lot of drag and drive events where you race at one place and you drive your drag car 300 or 400 miles. And my dad is my crew chief. And it's funny, we'll be driving in the middle of nowhere. I couldn't even tell you where we are. And we'll see an express wash or a wash here, and we'll laugh back and forth because out west there's still a lot of those. Shane, what is the name of the self-service chain? Oh, I forget the name of it, but there's like a million of them. Self-service, and then you get to some areas where you see express washes have been popping up and they're all closed. But we're trying to be the fastest small block NA drag and drive car in the world. We've already tested it. We just have to do it at the event. So that event will be in September, and then hopefully the internet, if you hear the internet shut down mid-September, it's because we did our job on the drag trip.
Well, we look forward to that for sure. So it sounds like you're third generation, but I mean, it sounds like you have such a great relationship with your father. I mean, not only is he, do you work with him, but also you have this hobby. He's your crew chief. Is he sitting next to you in the car right now?
He's actually, hold on one sec. Hey, Dad. He's at the tailgate, my truck here. Hold on.
Because one of the things I like about Glenn and his dad is they frequently drive up and pick up equipment here at our shop. So we get to like show them what we're doing. We get to talk to his dad and spend time with a lot of people, you know, when we're shipping around the country, we really don't get the fake time with them.
Yeah.
So that's good. Now, I was going to ask if your pop was along. I see his arm there.
This is my dad, Wayne. How you doing? So he's got a small because he's.
Yeah, turn the camera a little bit. It. No?
How's that? Yeah. Better?
Here we go. Almost, there he is.
So my dad is 73, right?
73.
And how old are you when you were first?
I was 19.
19 when he got into the car wash business. So I actually have some cool pictures I could send you of my dad. So what year would it have been?
1969.
That was when you were, I have pictures where they were pouring their pits in their self-service bays. My dad had hair, and he was a young guy, and he was laying in the pits.
Yeah,
and I could send you a couple pictures if you like, but that's
awesome.
My dad's always with me every day. We're actually neighbors, so there's no getting away from each other.
Yeah, I'm sad.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Now we have to rename this episode, so we'll include Wayne's name in it as well. So it'll be
he's obviously been my mentor and helped me. You know, I wouldn't be where I am without my grandfather and my dad, and or have the love of many things I love in my life: drag racing, Corvettes, and car washes. And there's laundromats in there too, but that's a whole other topic. A whole other topic.
So we asked your son earlier, what's better, operating a car wash or building a car wash? He picked building a car wash. Curious what your take is.
Both are pretty good. It's just deal with public. That's it.
Which one do you like better?
Oh, which one I like? Oh, build.
Yeah.
It's fun building things and then just letting all the other problems fall to someone else, I guess, down the road.
Oh my God. So, you know, we're at a wash that we're building, and it's a lease property. And my dad and I just got a phone call on the way up there. It's like, oh, this guy's going to be a pain in the neck for life, but we only have to deal with him for three more months and we're done. You know, we're off to the next one. So,
yeah.
But, yeah.
So the drag racing, let's go back to this drag. So we're thinking September world record.
Oh, absolutely. Our goal is, it's called Hot Rod Drag Week in September. We're not going to make a test pass, right? We'll wait. Yeah. We don't want to let our cards out on the table. So if we can break the record day one, we're going to be conservative day one, two, three, and four. Day five, we should be able to drop 150 pounds off the car and then break the record again. And then people should
all hang.
Yeah. People's minds will be blown.
See, go on everything.
Yep. But we'll be back at the original track, so we don't have to drive it anymore. So if we eat a set of lifters up or whatever, no big deal.
Push on a trailer.
Yeah, we pushed it on the trailer before, and we'll push it on the trailer again. So after drag week, my dad has a 66 Corvette. That's a small block base to NA, but they have a new one coming out called Death Week. Is can you drag race your car every day and drive, what let's say, 2,500 to 3,000 miles? So we're hoping to take the, I'm sure the times will be a lot slower because our 62, will eat its, you know, that motor's not junk, but it's got to be freshened up. Even the fuel we run in, it eats the valve guides and the injectors out of it within one of those events. So, we don't think it'd make the trip on the 3,000 miles. So we'll take his car, it'll be a little bit slower, but we'll make it through the week. But we're supposed to, what's that one start in Las Vegas? Drive to California, drive down the strip or the coast of California. And that should be a week long one with a lot of driving. So we enjoy those together. So
that's awesome.
My dad is awesome because Mike's a 62. Every day you got to go through the valve springs and a set of spark plugs, and you got to be the first one to make a hit because you need the coldest air because we're naturally aspirated.
What time are we at the track? 5 o'clock.
Yeah. My dad's holding the flashlight as I'm changing plugs in this thing on the side of the road because the track's not open yet. Never complains, never nothing. You know, they have aluminum lightweight seats in it, and your back is burning because the exhaust is right underneath, and we're driving with earplugs in.
What's the name? King.
Yeah. So people think my dad's hearing's bad because he's older, but it's not. It's because his son's got a loud drag car. I've impaired his hearing over the years, but no, it's really awesome. I love it.
Being in business and then also just like personal life, like having someone like that in your life is, it's so enjoyable and just makes everything that much better. So it sounds like we could probably talk drag racing with you two all day long. But do want to switch back to the car wash a little bit. It seems like from your standpoint, and I think this is industry wide, like moving more towards a prepless model is kind of the way. And obviously it's happening in your washes now, and if you can just kind of talk about kind of the thought process that you had, and maybe it's different from our thought process, and you know, people who, you know, I think for us a lot of it was like the automation of it. You know, we battle with high wages here in New York State, and you know, I don't know, what's your take?
We moved to it when we built Middletown. We did it. We had our Montgomery wash. We built that in sometimes early 2000. And we didn't put a prep gun in the entrance. And boy, it seemed like people were not happy. We're like, man, we have to get away from prepping. And had a couple of the original Omni-style arches. And then we had a guy build us what we wanted. It worked better, but it wasn't obviously what things are today. Even the nozzle technology has changed so much. Now we don't do any prep. We have a thumb gun that they'll spray a little bug cleaner when they're pulling the car in, just to give it a little dwell time. We like it hot. The chemistry, the water hot, and the chemistry, I'm going to say hot, but a little on the aggressive side. This way it has that extra 20 feet. to sit on the front of the car on that plate on the bumper while the water roller is going up. We don't hit the car with any friction material on the sides, at least. We'll put a top brush on the top to kind of like brush in the chemistry into the windshield, and then we'll do high pressure on the sides or the wheels, and then we'll run it through. We use a Pettit machine at most of the washes that does the front and follows the car for 12 feet, does the back. We'll send it through the friction material. This last one we just did, and we're talking with Shane, we put the wheel blaster at the end, which worked great. So, but we're getting towards even that thumb gun to spray the heated chemical on the front. One of the washes coming up, we figured out we're going to try an automated process to do that. I really would like it to where they do, that's going to sound bad, but absolutely nothing. I just want them to pull them.
Sure.
Point to the sign. That's it. Let the car wash, do everything else. But it also gives consistency, because something Shane said before, when you go on Wednesday, they take 8 minutes to vacuum my car. When I go on Saturday, it's 2 seconds. And you get the same thing with somebody with a prep gun. Or they throw a $5 tip to the guy. You'll get your wheel wells prepped out. Who cares how many cars will wind down the river? So we're trying to alleviate all those types of things and keep everything as machinery-based, as accurate, and as the same time. If it took 2 seconds on Tuesday, it takes 2 seconds on Friday night as it did Sunday afternoon. Keep it the same. Even our mat washing rooms, which we did one in one of our washes, and I wasn't sure how great it would be or how good it would be to even go over. We did a small, what was that room? 10 by 10, we put one Rhino mat cleaner in it, put a sign on it, free mat washing. And during the weekend, I've seen a couple people use it. I stopped by over the weekend, and there must have been 15 people lined up to it. And the guy's like, we got to put more of these in, but there's like zero space to do it. So when we did Milford, or we did East Haven, we built the mat room, but we couldn't get the mat cleaners in time for the opening. They added them later on, and my father and I seen it, and we're like, you know what? There's got to be a better spin on this. So we just did one that we proudly opened yesterday. We did dual Rhino mat cleaners. My dad made a stainless steel tub that you could put, because rubber mats seem to be bigger than the carpeted mats anymore. So we did the stainless steel one, but we noticed people taking the rubber mats and sending them through the Rhino just to dry them. So we put heated blowers in there. We put a thumb gun with foaming chemical, and we put a brush that they could scrub it. So now...
Now, we lost your audio there for a second. All right. Well, not the not the ideal way to wrap up a podcast, but I think I met Glenn once, just like kind of shook his hand once. I never had a conversation with him. And just what a passionate person. His
family just lives and breathes car washing. And, I moved to Vermont a couple years ago, and, you know, you make friends and they're like, what do you do? And they're like, I build car washes for a living. And people always like, well, what's that like? And, you know, how do you like it? And I always say, car washing, you either love it or you hate it. There's no treading water. Like, it's not like, oh, I'll just work here, you know, until something better comes on. Because you either love it or you hate it. And it is great to talk with guys that just love car.
Oh, he's back. Hey, come back.
We're talking about all the technical things we can do in a car wash. I can't work an iPhone.
Listen, what happens when you pull over the side of the road probably and do it. So we're lucky we have the high-speed internet here.
If you put your phone in your Corvette, you'll have high-speed internet.
Definitely no radio in that car. Oh, no pictures either.
So we were in the process of wrapping this up. We were saying it wasn't the best way to end the show, but we do want to be respectful of your time. And what I had said was, I shook her hand once, maybe, a couple of years ago, never had a real conversation. And sounds like you and Shane talk all the time, but for sure the passion around this industry certainly shines through with you and your family.
mean, the fact your wife's saying, "Hey, look how dry your car looks in the picture," I think speaks a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything.
She must have wanted something last night. You know? Oh, yeah. By the way, yeah, well, she knows what makes me happy.
we thank you so much for your time. Best of luck. I'm sure we'll. I mean, we're not too far from you, and where you're based out of. And like Sham is saying, you guys will pop up here every once in a while. So look forward to seeing you in Albany. And best of luck to you, and good luck with both world records.
Yeah, we'll get them both. No doubt. No doubt. We'll figure a bet, and we'll figure another one. So thank you for having us on. Really appreciate it. Shane has been a huge help to me, so he's awesome. So
Ellen's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Nice.
Have a good one.